Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2. Miami Dolphins lose again, licking our wounds. They drop to a cool 1-5 on the season. These headlines are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com. 29-27 was your final score yesterday. Yeesh. Larry Zonka, my favorite follow on Twitter, he writes, "Don't know what to say. I keep watching, hoping. I see talent and even some good moments of execution. But we're inconsistent, which boils down to rehearsal. I can hear Coach Shula repeating, quote, 'We don't practice until we get it right. We practice till we can't get it wrong.'" Hashtag fins up, dolphin emoji. Hashtag well, LAC versus MIA.
One problem with that is, that team was laced with Hall of Famers and with Super Bowl champs, right? So there was a different level of talent on that team. Like, I don't think that it's a situation of guys don't know where to be, right? Like, we see the pass rush. The pass rush got there, right? There were certain times where the pass rush swarmed the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. They swarmed him.
So what play or what getting it until you get it right, what role does that play in it? Just being there and not making a play?
I don't know.
It's not an execution thing. It's the talent thing.
Chai Johnson says, "Is Zonka Sam Elliott now?" That's just his narrator voice. That's how I imagine Zonk sounding. I know we've had him on the show plenty of times, but I always picture him sounding like this, which is also my Zach Sealer. But Zach Sealer doesn't get that voice now because he doesn't have a sack.
Did the kids still want to see Zach Sealer? They said, "Nah, we good."
I don't know.
They were at the Barney.
Hard to say. This tour thing has gotten so crazy. You have former Dolphins practice squatters coming out of the woodwork to tell us to snitch on Tua. A person named Deshaun Hamilton, who apparently was a Dolphin for 17 days, tweets out, "This dude, the starting quarterback, was late to the first team meeting during my 3 seconds on the Dolphins. Everything was all cool in there."
Yo, he said say that again. He was late for the team's meeting in his 3 seconds that he was there.
I was barely at the Dolphins, and he's like, Tua was late back then.
Hey, this is like Houdini. The freaks come out at night, right? Everybody coming out of the woodworks, right? Now, I'm going to say this.
We owe people apologies.
It's not amazing that he said that. It's amazing that 3 seconds in the league made him feel like he could say that, right?
I don't think that was his only place in the league, but it was his only time with the Dolphins.
Yeah, but you know what? He's not saying that. He's not saying that if he was in Kansas City that, you know, Patty was late, or in Buffalo if Josh was late.
Maybe they weren't late, though.
Even if they were, nobody's going to be calling that guy out.
Right. I just think right now, regardless of what's going on with the team and why they're losing, Tua's the low-hanging fruit, as is most quarterbacks. So I'm not just going to say everybody's picking on Tua. That seems to be the way of the land. They did it with Daniel Jones in New York.
Yep.
Right? They didn't go. Wait.
It's Indiana
Jones
to
you. Let's think about this and use the Giants as an example. Right? Go ahead. They ain't mentioned that you got rid of a Hall of Fame running back and thus got rid of some of the coverage that your quarterback had.
Well, arrogant.
Which is a lot of quarterbacks have that coverage.
They arrogantly got rid of a Hall of Fame running
back. Right.
Did you watch that Saquon doc?
No, but I watched I watched Hard Knocks off season.
If you watch it, it delves really into the situation, and you kind of understand it more from Saquon's side. But in your response about how the Giants, how they handled the situation, the way the Giants made it seem like it was either one or the other. They couldn't do both. It was either going to have to be the quarterback or they couldn't pay the running back. That type of
not only giving him $40 million. That means you saved $10 million somewhere.
Schmeathan says you can't be 27-year-old with a documentary. Enough. There are a lot of documentaries. I didn't even know. Where is Saquon's documentary?
It's on Prime.
Well, Amazon Prime. Did you hear? You know whose stock is sky high right now? Baker Mayfield. Did you see that play that he had yesterday? Fourth down run. God, that was cool.
He just looks like a little bulldog, right?
He's just having a blast.
He may not. It's one of those people. First of all, he has an arm cannon, so let's not sleep on that, right? We can start there. Same thing with Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has a cannon, so let's not start. But when you see the way he's built, he kind of looks like one of those undersized linebackers.
But that's his whole attitude, Leroy. He plays linebacker. He's a quarterback.
You know who
with a linebacker like mentality?
Harbaugh.
Yeah,
that's exactly how Harbaugh, and that's why Harbaugh's intense now.
Here's the thing, though, it draws the team.
It
draws everyone. Like, think about it, bro. Baker was ripped in Cleveland.
Right,
Colin made it.
Cleveland management.
Right, but even Colin Coward made it was like 2 years he was making
the players too, though, because you had Odell's father coming out with montages of missed throws,
all he did, he just persevered. He just kept on playing. Now he's the number one MVP. He's number one odds right now for MVP in the NFL.
Rightfully so. Did you hear, you want to hear something adorable? Did you see this? You got my buttons up there, no. Vlad? This was Tez Johnson yesterday who caught the touchdown and then did the backflip.
Well, it was a great catch, too.
Great catch.
He caught that ball on the back end with his pinky, with his little bitty, the tips of his finger. That's a good catch.
This was him after the game.
I'm going to tell y'all a funny story. This is crazy. When I score and I hit MVP chant, I'm thinking they talking about me. So I asked Shep. I'm like, Shep, they was chanting MVP? And he was like, yeah. I was like, I ain't do nothing this year. And then he was like, they talking about Baker, Tez. And I was like, well, that explains it. But he is the MVP.
hey, that's when you know you are about yourself. Right? That is funny.
I'm giving him a minus one.
And a plus one for telling the story. Right? He get a both.
He gets a minus.
Minus one.
For arrogance.
Everybody wants back on the Baker bandwagon.
Everybody does.
Not only that, you want to hear something crazy?
What?
And of course, this is a slap to our faces, Leroy, and to our fan base. Mm-hmm. The top two MVP candidates. Or the first two quarterbacks from the 2018 draft. Sam Darnold's having an unbelievable year himself.
Yeah.
And Baker. And they were the two quarterbacks selected. Cleveland won. Jets traded up for Sam Darnold at 3.
Does mean that two is...
But in Vlad, I don't know if I could make my point. Like, I try to make this point, and I don't really think that I make it well enough. And that is, you draft these guys 1 and 2 and 5. It's a consensus throughout the league. The only person that people felt that was a reach was when San Francisco drafted Trey Lance, right? Everybody thought that was because they thought they were going to draft Mac Jones, right? And so, everybody thought these were the two best quarterbacks in that draft. They go to their respective teams that draft them or whatever. And then everybody's calling them a bust. But look at the organizations they went to. Right? And so now you get some coverage. You got a defense. You got a run game. You can go out there and relax and play. And you balling. Right? Same thing with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold went to a quarterback-friendly offense in Minnesota and balled out. till he got another opportunity to be a starter. And he kept doing it. Is that mean? No. And then reporters want to say this. He's finally coming into his own. Nah. The dude always had talent. He probably got up from underneath that garbage.
He's fine being coach right.
So you're right. Saying when Tua moves on from Miami and gets away from Jonas Savatanaya, that he's going to have a resurgence?
I was just thinking the same thing.
I don't know that, because here's the other problem that I've always had with Tua, and this is Chris Greer's way of doing things, right? Me personally, if I have a top five pick, I don't care how great the player could be. If he's banged up or injured, I'm going in another direction. Because I just don't want to deal with it. I could maybe get rid of one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live. That's just me. Right? Same thing with what I said when the Browns wanted to get Deshaun Watson. You need a quarterback. You got rid of your quarterback. You know the quarterback that you give $230 million to going to sit out either a season or a number of games. Why are you, a team that needs a quarterback, investing that much money in a quarterback who's not going to play for a year? It makes no sense. If it worked out somewhere else, fine. Just not for us. When you need something that bad, because here's what happened. He was thrust in the plane too soon. He might not have been ready. And now we've been playing the Tua game for the last 4 years.
6 years.
6 years. So, yeah. But so Baker has always been Baker. Baker did some of those things in Cleveland. The problem is you get these guys that come right out of college, you throw them in a starting role, and you want them to be Patrick Mahomes right away.
Yeah, even he made fun of that last week. Like, he talked about, you know, it's like, my attitude hasn't changed. It just went from, you know, smug and arrogant to moxie, you know, like it.
Right, because he's winning. That's it. That's what we do. That's what we do.
Wallace said the same thing yesterday. He's like, you know, you could be 5-1 and, you know, peacocking, but you still, you know, there's still things you got to work on. So whether you're 5-1 or 1-5, you got to work on things. Right. But
that's why the Tua comments are problematic. It's like, you are aware of what the temperature is of this stuff. Don't
he should be more aware than anybody based on what he went through.
Yeah, don't throw more chum in the water. Like, right. The Dolphins, let's be real about it. The Dolphins shouldn't be a headline today. And it's the number one headline all over the NFL. I have ESPN on here. It's literally been on all day. Correct. And it shouldn't be. They are not worthy of discussion. They suck. There's nothing interesting about them other than people love a dumpster fire. And when Tua says those things, it makes them out to be an even bigger dumpster fire than their record already says they are. And so that's why it's a problem. That's why he needs to know the temperature of those things, and he doesn't. He's just like, here's a match. Take a break. We're back after this.
Hey, y'all. This is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Just got done with some 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored, which is brought to you always by the Lexus TX. Room for all your passions and 3 rows of luxurious comfort. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Man, bless the Bucks' heart. Not the Tampa Bay Bucks. They're off to an awesome start. I'm talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. They signed another Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
They're pulling out all the stops. Please, Giannis, please.
Nah, the man said in 8-9 months that my mind changes. I'm human.
No sympathy. Should have just kept your nose out of the Heat's Damian Lillard business, Bucks. Now, if all the Antetokounmpos want to be down here, I mean, we could talk.
Can't be the Jokic brothers. One of them is in jail.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, what happened to him?
I don't know. He just found out he's in jail.
He looked. What do you think? A little rough around the edges, those Jokic's.
Yeah.
I think that's a kind sentiment. A
little rough around the edges. A little rough around the edges.
Two meatheads.
The Heat lost again yesterday in preseason, but they didn't play anybody. You know, Bam didn't play. Norm didn't play. Wiggins didn't play. Kalel, though. Well, let me tell you something, dude.
Okay. Something. Now, wait.
Hey,
Can I just say this?
Hey. Wow.
Please don't overdo it. You just said nobody played.
Well, I mean, but Leroy.
You said nobody played. You then can't go ahead on and
he's got
and give credit to guy putting up numbers and the team's still losing.
So good.
I mean, you know, when your team losing, you put up big numbers. What is that called?
Looter riot.
Looter in a riot. Okay.
Yeah, but he was so good. I mean, he's got this bag, Leroy. He's so, and his 3-point shot this year looks so much better. Smooth.
I see my big man doing way too many fadeaways.
Smooth.
He
took it to the rim though. He had a couple of and ones.
Yeah. He did.
Had a nice block. They played Davion like 10 minutes. Kasper's got hurt yesterday, which you're a wee lad. What are we, hip injury? What are we doing? Get out there, Kaz.
You ever fell on a wood floor?
Schmeathan says, stop it, Tobin. The guy that Kalel dunked on showed up in an Uber that he was driving himself. It was Jonathan Isaac. He's a good defender. He had Jonathan Isaac in hell yesterday. Now, he did have a bat, you know. There was a big swing play. The Heat were giving up offensive rebounds up the wazoo yesterday. And then he finally got it. And then he throws it to, I think it was Jameer Young, one of those Sioux Falls lads. And it turned over and then led to a dunk right past Kalel. And then Spo called timeout and took him out. And I was just like, ah, oh, that is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. But this was Spo on his big scoring night.
I'm encouraged by it. Look, it's everybody has so much attention, you know, on him and what I'm going to say about him. He's getting better. You can see the talent. You know, there are points in the game, you know, where there's swing points where it might be the play to make or the decision to make that's not quite there. But I would much rather coach somebody who's willing to be coached, who can put up 24 and 10 and figure out how to get those winning moments during the course of a game. And that's where we are. But he did some, you know, impressive things. I love the way he was on the offensive glass. And we'll just continue to work with him.
I have a theory.
Help me out, Vlad.
I have a theory.
Vlad. Uh-huh. Help me out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
What is the main ingredient of winning plays?
Effort?
No.
He's going to say winning.
Oh, just winning.
Winning. Okay. They ain't won a game yet.
Look, it was a bad play that did probably swing the game in the end. But like, most of the game, he was awesome.
Leroy, I have a theory.
What's up?
I know why Spo is hard on Khalil Ware like that.
Because he want him to be Zoe. And
he doesn't want Hassan Whiteside. That's what
I don't think he's Hassan Whiteside. I really don't think so either.
But when you're really nitpicky on a player, even when he has a great game, you're like, yeah, I know people are going to say something. Like, if you already know, but you're still going to say it, you're on his helmet because you think he's a good player. You just don't want it. You've seen this before. You don't want that to happen again.
The other thing is, and more importantly, this is the main thing. He can take it, which says a lot about Kalel more than all the scoring, all the stuff Spo's saying. That is the most important thing. When he's hard on Kalel, Kalel don't crawl up into a little turtle shell. Kalel responds. And so that's the other reason why he can do that. You see what I mean? Because the sign of a good coach is to use whatever motivation you can, and if it's not working, to stop.
And also,
you know, that's the difference between old school and new school.
And have lieutenants. So you could be the bad guy, and then he bad cop.
Well, Bam is.
And Bam is good cop.
No, right. Bam's also a bad cop.
You think so? But Bam is the
Tyler's good cop.
Tyler's the good cop?
Yes. No, Bam
Tyler.
Is. Bam
Tyler
is.
Right now, Tyler's on the desk.
Yeah, Tyler.
Tyler, I'm telling you right
Tyler
now.
Tyler got a desk job.
No, it is bad cop, good cop is Tyler.
Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler right now is no cop. I understand, but what I'm saying, when they're at the games, when he's at the games, he's good cop. He's like, hey, it's all good. Tyler is arm around. Hey, it's all good, baby.
But you know what?
Bam Adebayo is
temperament. Bam's temperament, though, the way he goes about his work, allows him to be whatever cop you want him to be. The guys respect him.
He is at him. Like, there was a point the preseason game I was at, and Bam is just like, he's talking to all the rookies, and then he drags Kalel. He goes, get those rebounds. And then, like, you could see him, like, losing his mind on the bench, like, when he's not doing what he wants him to do. So, no, Bam is also bad cop in this case. But a bad cop with love.
I would say I used to get, let me see. Metcalf was my boy. Kevin was, he,
that's a rule.
You know,
dude, these guys are
funny,
he was
just an old head. But I would get a lot of mess from Ozzie. And from Bernie, but Bernie did it in a nice way. And then on defense, a linebacker, Mike Johnson, he was on me hard.
Schmeathen says Tyler is the cop that stands at the exit of a Marshall's.
That's hysterical.
He's a bicycle cop. STI says he's not a good anything. Nick T says he's a cop out. Vlad says he's a mall cop. You calling him Paul Blart?
Paul Blart.
Guy can't heal in peace.
I mean, you brought it up.
No, I'm just.
We weren't even thinking. Vlad.
I know. I just wanted.
Was the word, was that his word, his name ever going to come out your mouth if Tobin hadn't mentioned?
No.
Okay.
This was a whole Heat segment. Yeah. And then you set it up. You set it up very nice. You set it up like Heat lost, this, that, and the other. And then Leroy said, but Kalel. And then the minute you heard Leroy say, but Kalel, that's when you were ready to. You're ready to,
so
like,
much fun.
Right, yeah, like, to give your diatribe. Look,
you don't understand, though. He's so much fun.
Here's the thing that kills me about sports.
Yeah.
We can take the same situation and put it on four different situations, and we'll all react a different way, even though all of the circumstances are the same. Now, if Kalel was a guy on another team,
right,
and I was hyping that other team up
and
that player up, you go, they ain't winning no games. He's a looter in the right.
Pre-season,
you would say
baby.
That.
It's preseason.
Now it's your team.
I'm looking at the talent.
So, you make up a point for
so
me.
So good, though. He's so talented.
But Vlad,
he does things.
Me and then make the point.
He just, hey. He does. Remember, we got nice players, but we haven't had like eye popping players. And this guy does things in games where you're just like,
right.
You haven't had eye popping players?
Not in a while. Like, like even Jimmy, like, you know, he can crank it up in the playoffs, but Jimmy's like, it's basically run into you, get free throws. I'm going to get like beautiful double hit, double clutch shots in the air. Like, it's not like the most eye pleasing stuff. Vlad.
He's saying his basketball is not aesthetically pleasing.
He's just trying to say he's not as aesthetically athletic.
I'm just telling you.
Other players are. Because, he is athletic for a big man.
He's like, just a fun watch.
He is very athletic for a big man.
Yeah.
And he has a nice demeanor about him, which makes you very happy. See,
like,
if he was
good. He's a good dude. When you ask him about the Spo stuff or whatever, not one time has he gotten frustrated, upset.
Super accountable.
Nothing. You know what? It's called development. Y'all should try it in sports, right? Like, we want everybody, like, you ever go to a place of business and that person say, hey, I just got here. I've been here for a week. What if you return and say, I don't give a damn, right? Because that's what we do with athletes. So it's called development.
Gonzalo says, the Bucks signing another Antetokounmpo is like having kids to save the marriage. Doc, what do you think about you signing another Antetokounmpo?
Well, I get a lot of practice on that last name. What is it? Danis? Giannis?
Danis.
This one's Alex.
Oh, just regular Alex? All right, I'll be all right. How old is he? 17?
I don't know.
Because we just signed him. We don't know how old he is. He ain't got no papers or nothing.
He's African.
What is he?
I have no idea. I don't know how old Alex Antetokounmpo is.
Wait, we've been playing basketball. They just rando signed him. So
24.
Nobody else in the league wanted him, huh?
24.
24, and this is first year. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. What? I got a 24-year-old rookie.
He played for the Wisconsin.
Usually the Europeans that come over here are 18 and 19 because they so good. What he been doing for the last 6 years?
He was playing for Aris or Ares. I don't know how they pronounce that. It's a Greek team.
Point for
and I bet you that team signed him because they said it's Giannis' brother, right? Like,
Come on. How many people thought Browning was going to be dunking like LeBron?
Dang, that's going to happen. So we're going to wait for Bryce to come, and then Bron's going to play with both his sons. Bryce is a freshman this year in Arizona.
Yeah, but we talked about Browning coming out of high school. Like, we ain't talk about Bryce like that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why Bryce might be the low-key. Everybody knows. Well, not everybody. But a lot of people say that Bryce might be the better player than
Keep in mind, the first ball wasn't good.
I don't know.
Lonzo wasn't good?
I know I watched last night.
Who was that? Was it
the second one wasn't good.
The second one.
LiAngelo wasn't good.
Jello wasn't good.
Yeah, now he's a rapper.
And he conned him to give him $13 million for one song.
He, you know, the Heat last night had somebody named Gabe Mattson who looked like Joe Dirt.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had long, like, grungy hair. It looked wet. Oh, right? It looked like he was about to go fishing and hunting right after the game.
Take a break. Mixed bag next.
Hey, y'all. This is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
All right. Welcome back. Oh, hello, Jennifer.
Hello, Tobin. How you doing?
How was the game yesterday?
It was a great time in the suite.
So not good at the end?
No. It was very upsetting at the end.
Well, Lupe was happy.
Lupe was happy, unfortunately.
Yeah. Good for Lupe, though. You know, she's got she got Harbaugh. She got a old piss whistle over there who can't get tackled. Good on her. Other shenanigans yesterday in the NFL. We had a fight at the end of Sunday Night Football yesterday.
Did you see the play?
Yeah, I saw the play. Then I saw the fisticuffs at the end.
Yeah.
This was man camp. Brian Branch got into it with, I think, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, he messed him up.
And this is what man Campbell had to say.
Let me start with this. I love Brian Branch, but what he did is inexcusable, and it's not going to be accepted here. It's not what we do. It's not what we're about. I apologize to Coach Reed and the Chiefs and, you know, and Schuster. That's not okay. That's not what we do here, and it's not going to be okay. He knows it. Our team knows it, and that's not what we do.
Can only bite kneecaps until the whistle blows.
Yeah.
If I'm Brian Branch, I'm scared.
It comes across as being a sore loser.
Yep.
But, I mean, dude, if you walk over me and drag your junk over my face like that.
That's a fight.
Me and you fight.
That's a fight.
Oh, that's what. That's a fight. Who did that, Mahomes or Juju?
Juju Smith during the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hit him in the back and then walked over him.
Ew.
So he ain't do nothing during that. He ain't retaliate. But you could tell after that play, he said something.
Yeah, and there was a thing with like him and Mahomes at the end of the game, too, that didn't go great, and then it kind of just all boiled over.
Right, yeah, Mahomes went to, you know, shake his hand, like, you know, give him a dap, and then he didn't do it. And then Juju saw it, but then Juju went to give him a dap, and then he just cold-cocked him.
You need to learn to fight when it matters, like the Panthers. And right now, the Panthers are steamrolling everybody.
Well, because it's legal.
Paul Maurice. This is what he had to say on Anton Lundell, who continues to impress for the Cats.
Anton has just kind of his continuation on his important play for us last year. He got put into a role that was critical, that if it's not Barkov, it's Lundell against some really dynamic players throughout the playoffs. And he's just growing and maturing. He's a veteran player now at a young age, but we have a high expectation of what he's able to do, what he should be able to do. I think. More importantly, he has that expectation for himself.
Yeah. Cats right now are lighting everybody up. They won 6-2.
Best players are out, and they still just steamroll.
They're a machine right now.
Because they're deep.
They got the Flyers tonight. Tarasov is going to make his first start between the pipes tonight. So Bob starts off 3-0. They're going with Daniil Tarasov.
First road game.
Yep.
First road trip.
Yep, road trip coming on up. I think it's five on the road.
Yes, sir.
Five on the road for the Cats.
That's the one thing I'll say. I tip my hat to basketball and hockey and baseball. Y'all be leaving and going on trips for like a week and a half and stuff like that all over the country. I remember we started hyperventilating one time when we played a game and just stayed out. Like, we didn't come back in between games.
Sergei Bobrovsky. That's what he had to say about starting off 3-0.
I mean, it's great to have a rhythm, you know. It's great to see the action, you know, the game action. So it's all good. We're excited to move on.
He sounds it.
You can't tell whether he just won the Stanley Cup,
nope,
or he just won like 8 straight, right? Or nope. Lost 2.
Love him.
He's the same.
Even keel.
Just keeps
focused up. Man.
Yeah. Focus. Or when you say I had that bleep taste in my mouth.
Oh my God. Tough day for me. So Panthers at it tonight. So you guys can hear that on AM 560 tonight. The Cats will be there. The Heat, they're taking on the Hawks. That's an early start tonight, 6:00. I would imagine you're going to see more of the regulars tonight.
They got this is their fifth or fourth.
This is their fifth.
Okay.
Fifth.
Got one more after this.
Got the scrimmage.
And then the season starts next week.
Yes. So we got. Game tonight in Atlanta, red, white, pink game on Wednesday, final preseason game on Friday against Memphis at home, and then open the season next Wednesday in Orlando.
Yeah, well, I don't know why you sing this thing. It ain't like they're on that channel.
Just once.
When just is once. That? Once?
Once.
What game once is that? Week.
I think it's the Bucks.
It's the Bucks one night
game.
A week.
They got one Amazon. I think they got like
no, I'm
one
not talking about the Heat. I'm talking about just the basketball.
No, yeah, they got like two nights a week, I think. Maybe NBC. Yeah. But
you're going to need a roadmap to figure out all the places there's basketball this year. Prime and NBC,
not really.
ESPN.
I know I always got Eric Reed.
Yep.
Yeah, but so, but understand this. You're only going to get him for the regular season. If they make the playoffs, all the playoff games are going to go to
Amazon Prime.
The national TV deal.
They're not putting playoff games on Prime, are they?
Yeah. I think everybody's getting playoff games.
That's the only thing that kind of upset me about the ticket in football. I don't want YouTube TV and just to get the ticket.
Bam Adebayo. This was him on his lady, Asia Wilson, winning it all.
Obviously, you know, getting here, buying in and to what we do and focusing on that, but also having to go to see my significant other.
What was it like, just the emotion? We saw it on TV. We saw you interviewed by the WNBA after the game, walking over the celebration. What's it like? You know what winning at the highest level is like, having been to the finals twice. What's it like to share in someone else's joy like that?
Oh, man, you're just blessed to be a part of it. You know, that's the thing about shared success, man. You're just blessed to be a part of it. You're blessed to see somebody have that much success. Somebody who they can, you know, you start comparing to Bill Russell. And you talk about how much of the greatness that they have.
There you go, Bam Adebayo.
Aw, he love his girl.
Two scoops of adorable, those two.
Somebody say, Bam, take some notes from your girl.
I'm saying.
I tell you what, she did, at one point in the game, I thought she did the Akeem shake.
Man.
Like, listen,
she's good.
She's got a picture that nobody can ever say. She hit a game-winning basket over a married couple. That is classic.
That's crazy.
That's absolutely crazy.
She is, finals MVP, MVP, DPOY.
But she did reek of beer. That was the funny part when they were taking pictures together. He's like, ugh, you smell.
Well, she was toasty in those press conferences.
I think she was she had a little 420 at the end. There was a lot of even her coach was like Becky Hammon, who was like, ooh, God.
Isn't that crazy, though? Becky Hammon, she was with Pop.
Yep.
And, like, yeah.
Crazy, man. Congrats to the Aces. Take a break. Get back into the Dolphins. Oof. Back after this.
Do we?
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.